Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Reese Coffler-Stanfield of Georgetown, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 1st, 2012, episode 416. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world!
I can't take it anymore!
Thank God it's Friday!
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. We hope that you get to do a lot of horsing around this weekend. Good morning, Reese Coffler-Stanfield. How are you?
Great, Glenn. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Well, it's so good to have you on. Appreciate you joining us today. And, of course, Reese is the new co-host of the Dressage Radio Show, and her first episode came out yesterday. Kind of in me interviewing Reese, wasn't it?
It was. It was really fun, and it's exciting to have my first one out.
Yeah, and next week you get to do it without me on the air. So you're on your own next week.
I know, that just made my heart drop a little bit, but we are working on that. And I will be ready to go next week, and I'm going to have a very fun co-host, and I'm really excited about it. It's a new adventure for me, for sure.
Well, just imagine you're back when your childhood and you're on the sidewalk in front of the house and your dad has you on the little bike with the training wheels on. That was last week. That was this week's show. Next week, the training wheels come off. You get 1 week.
I can guarantee I was on the training wheel bike for longer than a week, though. You'd have to ask my dad, but I think it wasn't. I think this is a short training, but I'm good. I'm excited, and it's going to be so much fun, and we're really going to do a lot of stuff, new stuff with the Shaw Show, and it should be fun.
Now, what's the training wheel version of learning to ride horses when you're a kid? I guess it's a pony. That's the training wheel version, isn't it? The pony that bucks you off on a regular basis.
Well, it's the lunge line, really.
Oh,
I mean, let's face it. Yeah, it's the lunge line.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's that moment when you, I've been riding. I have a small breeding program, and my first son, as we call him, he's four now this year, and I have just started riding him. And I have to say, when I was on the lunge line and someone let go, I thought, okay, what happens now for a minute? And I was a little nervous, not a lot of steering, but glad to be inside. So I had that feeling.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Reese, I think Jennifer was trying to kill me because I don't think she ever put me on the lunge line. It was just get on this horse and learn to ride. So...
Yeah, I'm not going to get in the middle of this family. Yeah, no, I know not to do that.
Walking horse, so maybe there was some protection there.
Yeah, I think you were probably good. Yeah, I think you were probably good. This is why I won't even train, my husband wants me to teach him lessons, and I told him,
no.
I said, I'm sorry. Nope, not going to do it. Nope.
Didn't work for Now, we work together. We've always worked together for 25 years now. The businesses we've been in, we work together every day. But her trying to teach me to ride was not good. We abandoned that project.
I have to be honest. I'm not sure. I don't know if I know any couple that works for. It's a tough one. I if anyone's doing it, please let us know because and how it works because I just wouldn't do it. So I just wouldn't even go down that road with them. I said, nope, I have plenty. I have several good riders, and my sister, my mom, my assistant. I have two young riders in the barn. They could all teach him, and it's a standing invitation. But he said, no, you have to do it. I said, oh, no.
Oh, I could talk about
marriage.
That real quick.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
You know what else, too? I mean, but that would be like him, you know, he's a Microsoft programmer guy. That would be like him trying to teach you how to program, you know?
I think it would just be, not even program, just do a simple thing on a computer, you know, you get into it. He's like, why don't you know how to do that? And I don't.
That's right. Well, Jennifer and I have that issue sometimes, too. I'm not very patient sometimes when it comes to teaching computer stuff, and I admit my fault.
Your way of teaching somebody something is here. Let me do that for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now it's like, okay, next week you do the show. We did it together 1 week. You're good.
I think we have this going on with my show, you know, with the Dressage show. You know, here, we're good. Okay.
Yeah, sounded great the first time. You should be able to do it again.
Yeah, we'll be fine. No, we'll be fine. And I've been lucky. You know, I'm getting practice today, and I've been on the shows before, so I feel really confident on doing it. And my co-host, who will be announced next week, keep an eye on Facebook, and it should be really fun. So it's going to be, again, I'm just looking forward to a new adventure, and it's fun sometimes to get out of the barn and get in my office, but not for the bills or paperwork that I always try to procrastinate for.
Yeah, well, we all do that, that's for sure. Well, Jennifer, speaking about procrastinating, what's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, amongst the horsey headlines and equine exchanges, I'll Have Another will likely figure prominently as Mike Penna from Horse Racing Radio Network joins us for a pre-Belmont chat. And thanks to Kat from Draper Therapies for the heads up. Happy National Donut Day!
Man, we live too far. I know.
Wow.
Donuts deserve cheering. It's Happy National Donut Day. It's National Donut Day, and we live so far from the donut store.
So do I, and that's probably a good thing for me.
We do love donuts. We love Dunkin' Donuts. We, you know, growing up in New England area, you know, up in the Northeast, you get to love Dunkin' Donuts, and then there's no other replacement other than Dunkin'. You know, you got to have them. But,
yeah. We have Spalding Donuts in Lexington. So anybody ever comes for a horse show, Spalding Donuts are great. And there's usually a line. You can't even get close to the place. So, but it's pretty far, so it's a good thing for me. But everybody enjoy your donuts this morning.
Have one for the three of us, because apparently we're not going to. All right, here's my daily worry. Well, my daily whinny goes out to my co-host, Jamie. We do miss you, Jamie. All the fill-in co-hosts have been great, but I do miss talking to Jamie every morning. It kind of becomes a thing that, you know, it's like having coffee. You just get up and, in my case, I get up and I get ready for the show, and I talk to Jamie for an hour and a half. That's what happens. But we did get some videos yesterday posted thanks to Darley at Equitrekking Travel. Darley did a blog post, and apparently Jamie had sent her some videos, like four different videos of her riding her Andalusian, her big gray Andalusian, and pictures of her riding on the beach and pictures of her doing some great half passes and some canter counter canters and all this stuff. There were some great videos there. And one thing that's consistent, Jennifer, you watched them. One thing that's consistent through all those videos is Jamie's smile is about to break her face. Hmm. She was having a blast. Just a blast.
I am really jealous. I have to be honest.
You've seen the pictures. I mean, she's riding this big gray, Andalusian, just having a blast over there. And Jennifer, how did the half passes and everything look?
It was beautiful.
Because I think you just sit there, and as long as you give them the right aids, they just do it.
He's been pre-programmed by a Microsoft programmer. Yeah.
Yeah, there
he's good to go. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's dreamy. I sign me up is all I've got to say. When can I leave?
Yeah, I imagine if you're right a dressage now. Girl watching that, you must be drooling a bit.
Oh, I'm just completely drooling and literally would go pack my bag right now. Like, I could stop the show and go. That's all I got to say. So
now
I hope she has a great time.
She is having a great time. She's absolutely enjoying the heck out of it. She did post, if you go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, you'll see the link to Equitrekking Travels post with all the videos on it. So go take a look. Jamie's having a wonderful time. Now, I think she's wrapping up her time at the riding school there in Spain in the next couple of days. And then she heads off to the mysterious part she's not telling anybody about. We don't know much about other than she's going to Portugal next week. So we don't know really what she's up to in Portugal. I know Chad said, can we have a couple of days without riding a horse? So, but you know, Chad was on horseback there, Jennifer, in those videos, wasn't he? He was up there, cantering on the beach.
Yeah.
That is so, again. I think I could maybe even convince Travis to go. I think he would, and I think he'd have a great time.
Yeah, make sure he has a couple of lessons with one of your instructors there.
Exactly.
All right, your turn.
So my daily Winnie goes out to Ellen Wall and Cassandra Hummert. They have just finished their Young Rider Selection Trials, and it's been a big May. We did 3 horse shows in 4 weeks, and Ellen won her USDF silver medal, which is phenomenal. And it looks like Cassandra Hummert will make the Young Rider team. Very exciting. And she also right now is an alternate for Gladstone. So she and I would really like to go next week, but that means that somebody else is not getting the opportunity. So either way, it's been a great month and lots of showing, and it's our first weekend off, not at a horse show in a while. So I think we are all 3 of us are excited, and so are the horses. But great time, learned a lot, and had lots of ups and downs as it goes, but it was a great, great experience.
Well, this is for them. Isn't it cool, though, when you're a coach, when you see your students do so well? That's almost more satisfying than when you do it yourself.
It is. It is. And you know, we've been working really hard. And sometimes, you know, when you set goals, like Miss Allen, she's not going to make the Young Rider team, but she has trained her horse since the time he was 5, and he's 12 now. And he literally did his first pre-St. George 3 weeks ago. And, you know, to see and to have that satisfaction. That horse is very green. It's her last year for Young Riders, so we said, let's give it a good old college try, see what happens. You know, I'd love her to have another year, but she doesn't. And, you know, that was super satisfying to see her do her first pre-St. George and wear her tailcoat. And Cassandra came to Kentucky to train here with me, and she wanted to make the Young Rider team. So it's very exciting that we now have a horse that's appropriate for her, and that we can do, you know, go to Young Riders. So it's been a really fun month, and you know, it's very, coaching is one of those things you really have to love it, but it is so satisfying, and the smile on your face when they come out is pretty cool.
Now, how old are they when they bump out of Young Riders?
21 in dressage.
Okay.
I think it's 21 across the board. And eventing has some age that I'm not so clear on, and same with show jumping. But dressage, you're in juniors. You can ride in juniors, which is third level, until you're 18. And then the Young Rider program, actually, you can start when you're 16 and go to you're 21. So it's
okay.
A great program. And, you know, riding levels from 16 to 21 are tough because you're very different at 16 versus 21. So.
Right. Yeah.
So
good job.
It's a great program. Yeah, it's a wonderful program and something I always encourage people to do and to look into. And if you have children, the Young Rider Finals are here at the Horse Park in July. And it is a great time. Because there's raining, there's show dumping, there's eventing, there's dressage. So it's a great time to come and see, you know, what all the options are. So it's a great week here.
Not to mention thousands of screaming teenage girls.
Yeah. You can buy earplugs are at the local CVS. No problem.
Yes.
I will be there too.
Hey, I wanted to mention to everybody that our chat room is open. If you want to join us in the chat room, and you can do that by going to blogtalkradio.com, and you'll see us on the homepage, Horses in the Morning. Just click on that, and the chat room's at the bottom of that page. So you can join in there if you would like. Now, I also wanted to mention that there's no really bad ads today. We Reese didn't want to attempt that, so we're actually going to be ending the show a little early today at about 10 o'clock. She has some lessons she has to get off to. And you have, you know, the listeners have some riding they need to do. It's practically the weekend. It's Freestyle Friday. Time to get out there and get on a horse. But before you do that, before you tack up, before you put the bridle on their face, and before you put the bit in their mouth, there's an announcement we have to make, and that came out yesterday. There is a recall. It's not something we see very often in the horse world, but kudos to English Riding Supply for getting it out there and putting the word out. There is a recall of some Happy Mouth bits. And Happy Mouth bits are the ones that, how do you describe Happy Mouth? They're the ones that have that, is it rubber? What is it anyway?
Yeah,
that
it's
Happy
it's
Mouth
a, it's
material.
It's kind of a rubber coating on the bits. They're really
quite
soft.
White.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
White coating.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's seen them. They have, I think it's six different models of those bits that are being recalled. And the reason is, and they're the ones that have the steel braided wire that go into the rubbery part, that go through the rubbery part. And if they have that steel braided wire, then they're probably being recalled, because what apparently has happened is that that wire where it connects to the bit on either side of the horse's cheeks can become frayed, rusted, or worn, and it can the bit can break. And what apparently has happened in some cases is there's been four reports of those bits breaking and horses getting hurt and people getting hurt and that kind of thing, because the horse, you can lose control of the horse and, you know, then bad things happen. So they're recalling those bits. There apparently were 3,400 of them that were made. So if you have a Happy Mouth bit, Jennifer's going to post a link on our Facebook page, and that link will send you to a page that describes the complete recall and also shows you pictures of the bits that are being recalled. So I think that will help you, as if you get to take a look at the picture. And there's a roller mouth, the gags, and they actually have the full cheek and a couple of the others also that are being recalled. So it's worth taking
a
look at that.
I'm really glad. Yeah, I'm glad you told me, because I honestly, Glenn, I didn't even know that until I got the show notes this morning. That's great that they're doing that, and kudos, you know, to them, because that's perfect. I'm going to go to my chat room right after we're done and check myself.
Yeah. You should, and what they want you to do is actually send the bit back. You can go to EnglishRidingSupply.com, and they have instructions on the website, but I think that what they're going to do is have you send the bits back, and I don't know if they give you credit or new bit or whatever they do. But, yeah, so they're really stepping up, and they're doing it right. So, you know, good job, English Riding Supply. But if you have a Happy Mouth, take a look at that. Hey, a couple things before we talk about the Dressage Radio Show. We had a guest on here in the last week from an auction company that was trying to sell one of the biggest properties, horse properties here in Florida, called Padua Stables. And anybody that's a regular listener to the show knows that we talked about that. It was the 760-acre property with like 20 houses, you know, 212 stalls, a million paddocks, and just one of those beautiful places. They had had it up for sale for $24 million, down from $35 million, big discount. And
yeah,
they couldn't sell it, so they wanted to have an auction. Well, the auction was last night, and, well, apparently nobody bought it. They didn't meet the reserve. There were some bidders there, and there were some bids, but they didn't meet the reserve price they had put on the property. Nobody knows what that is. They didn't announce that. And what the auction company said is that at this point, they're going to be meeting privately with the bidders and seeing if they can work something out with one of them. So that's where we're at. They had bought that place, Padua Stables, Reese, in 1998 for $7.5 million, but they spent millions and millions on renovation and building houses and paddocks and barns. And, you know, they have a complete dirt track, and they have a turf track there. They have state-of-the-art breeding barns. It's just a beautiful, beautiful. You could run a nice dressage business out of there.
Oh, I'm sure I could. Yes, and we could, every single one of my friends, you know, everyone could have their own house. Oh, that would
That's
be great.
Right, yeah.
I yes, Kate. I'll just have to check my bank account this morning, but yeah. No,
we'd be happy to rent one of those houses for like $700 a month, and we'll move the Horse Radio Network there. How about that?
I think that sounds awesome. That would be so much fun. Yeah, I'll check back with you, you know, later
right.
when I talk to my banker. Yeah.
All right, good.
No, it sounds beautiful. So I hope they sell it. You know, there are a lot of wonderful farms on the market, and you know, hopefully they stay horse properties for sure.
Well, let's talk a little dressage now. Of course, you're gonna
right.
hear the dressage radio show. What do you have planned? What are you looking forward to here on the show that might be a little different than people are used to in the past?
Yeah. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about is kind of making the show a little more amateur friendly. You know, the show before it was wonderful, and just like anything, when you change something, it's always fun to kind of mix it up a little bit. So our plan is to really talk to amateur riders and see how they make and fit dressage into their life. I talk to a lot of people, and it's always, you know, as we all know, an issue when, you know, you have to kids and you're working and you have your husband or wife. And fitting things in. So that's kind of the plan. I'm hoping that people can nominate some friends, and we can talk to them on the radio, and they can tell us their stories. One of my first guests will be Anna Coley. She just got her silver medal over the weekend, and she's a wonderful lady, and she lives in Alabama. So she has lots of challenges. She lives an hour and a half from her local trainer, and used to travel up here to me, and I'm about 7 hours from her. And so I want to talk to her on how she's been successful. And we'll also, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I know that you being a trainer, you want to offer more training tips and advice down the pike with your guests as well.
Exactly, training tips and talk to some judges. So we'll get the trainer's point of view, we'll get the judge's point of view, we'll get some views from Stuart. You know, what they see at horse shows and kind of what is the role of the steward at a horse show. I have an announcer that wants to come on and give his point of view on what he sees at horse shows and around. So I think it would be really fun and really intriguing, and like to have a sports psychologist on there because the mental part of dressage is huge. So it should be a very interesting show. Keep everybody on their toes. And I have a lot of friends in the horse world, and most of them are trainers, and I told them if they don't answer my calls, not friends anymore. So I've already put that challenge out to them. They better answer my calls.
Reese is threatening people now.
No, it's no, not at all.
All of a sudden, Jennifer, she has a microphone, and look at the power she's wielding.
I know, it's great. It's great. No, everyone's really excited and super supportive, and it's going to be a great adventure. So
does this mean we don't get any more recipes on our show? No more Reese's?
Oh,
I
do it, absolutely. You just call me. Yeah,
all
right. Time for the horses in the morning, anytime. So.
Okay, good.
That would be great.
Because we enjoyed having you come on and do your recipes every month, because I love talking about food.
Me too.
That's my favorite thing. Hey, I did notice that we have something very important coming up here at Gladstone, don't we?
Yes, the national finals actually start next week. So it was just announced, the list. It turns out, actually, Stephen Peters and Rebel will sit out from the Olympic trials. And that's a great thing. I'm glad they granted that to Stephen and Rebel. They certainly have been, you know, dominant over the last several years in dressage and been the top horse in the U.S. So I'm glad that he gets to stay home and stay in his normal program, and then he'll head off to London with the team. Stefan actually has two horses, so he'll take Legos, and he'll also take Ravel, and they'll go to the selection. They'll go to London, and then basically Stefan will get to choose. And then which horse he wants to take. And then the top 15 have been announced, and it's going to be a really interesting selection trial between Adrienne Lyle, who is works with Debbie McDonald, and she's from Idaho, and Wizard. They're number two. Heather Blitz and Paragon are number three. Tina Cognette and Colecto are number four. Todd Fletchich and Otto are number 5, and Gunter Sidell is 6. And between, Adrian and Todd Fletchich, it's or actually Gunter, it's less than a percentage point in their average. So that's a big deal. And what will happen at the national finals, it's 2 weeks of selection trials, and basically it's all done on scores. So your top 6 horses will go to London, and then they pick from there. So you'll have your team, and then you'll have your alternates. So the national finals start, they do the Grand Prix and the Grand Prix Special, which is a new test this year. They do that, and then both weeks. And then the top horses, and it's all by math, there's no really selection, by your performance, make the team. So it's going to be a very interesting week next week, and you can watch it on the USEF national channel. You can go to USEF website, and you can see it live. So it's going to be great. I'm going to be personally watching a ton. There won't be a lot of work getting done, I think, when the Grand Prix is going on. So it should be a great selection trial. And all those, honestly, Glenn, all those horses and riders are good. And there's other ones, too. The top between the next group, they're all 69%. So from number 9 to number 1, there's not a lot of space there in scores. So should be exciting.
So we should know at the end of the 2 weeks who's going to the Olympics at this point for dressage.
That's right. Yep,
okay.
That's right. It'll be very, you know, it should be pretty clear at the end who's going. And like you said, they'll take a couple alternates to England with them. So, you know, hopefully nobody gets hurt. But Stefan, it looks like he has 2 horses. He will for sure be on the team with one of the other horses. He'll decide which one and who's going the best and who's the fittest and that kind of thing. So. Should be great.
All right.
I'm really looking forward to it, and great educational opportunity to pull it up online for sure.
Well, thank you, Reese, for that update on what's going on in the dressage world for the Olympics. So let's take a little break for Kentucky Performance Products, our title sponsor today, and then we're going to have a return guest back with us, and we love having him on. It's Mike Penna of the Horse Racing Radio Network, HRRN, and yes, people still get us confused because we are HRN and they're HRRN, but they know a heck of a lot more about racing than we ever knew, so that's why we have them on the show. And of course, we have that little thing called the Triple Crown and the Belmont coming up that we're going to talk to him about. But first, Kentucky Performance Products. Well, it's a hot one out there, and the heat wave has hit much of the United States and the rest of the world. Well, don't let dehydration and electrolyte imbalance sideline your horse. Summer Games Electrolytes are formulated to replace both the electrolytes and the trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats. Its concentrated formula allows you to easily feed the correct amount to meet your horse's changing needs. This electrolyte was developed for the equine athletes at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. We all know that it can get hot in Atlanta. For horses on the go, use Summer Games Electrolyte Plus Paste. Each dose contains a serving of Nalox Equine Antacid for double the protection against stress. And, of course, you can find all of that at Kentucky Performance Products. They take out the confusion of choosing the right supplement. And you can find them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Yeah, I use electrolytes on all our horses because in Kentucky, we can be hot here in the summer, and we want everybody to continue sweating. So it is one of the supplements we use on every single horse. I get a huge tub, and everybody gets a scoop. So what's that, Glenn? I couldn't understand you. I'm sorry.
Do you put daily or just the 10% of the that you
Oh, yeah, we give a speech to everybody.
And that is the line, and I don't know if it is here.
Thank you. Mike, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing? I think Glenn is having a little technical difficulty, so it's you and me.
Well, we can take it from here, can't we?
I
we have
know.
A whole triple crown
to
talk about.
I'm excited because, you know, Mike, I'm here in, I live in Georgetown technically, but I've grown up in the horse industry here in Lexington and a huge racing fan. So talk to us. I heard that there was actually a pretty bad accident yesterday at the Belmont.
Well, almost a very bad accident. I'll have another was on the racetrack and another horse had gotten loose. And this was during the morning workouts and had taken off and run directly at I'll have another who, of course, for people that aren't familiar with that horse, he's the horse that's going for the Triple Crown on Saturday, June 9th. And the other horse, the loose horse, came right toward him, actually grazed the boot of the exercise rider as he came by. That's how close it was.
Wow.
And, no harm, no foul. Everything was fine. And I'll have another. We'll fight another day here, and he'll hope that that day is on June 9th.
She gave the trainer and everybody at the track a little heart attack yesterday, though.
I'm sorry, Glenn, could you say that again? I missed that.
I think we need Glenn back again. So Mike, I can only imagine what the trainers went through yesterday.
And Doug O'Neill, of course, the trainer of I'll Have Another, has handled this horse beautifully, and he's handled the media and everything that's brought up over the last couple of weeks just beautifully. He's been a very classy individual with everything that's been brought to his attention and all the questions that have been asked of him. And, you know, you kind of had to feel for him a little bit there when you have something like that happen. And you can imagine just being a horse person, what that's like when you have, you know, your prize student out there and all of a sudden something like this happens, it's out of your control. And luckily crisis averted and everything was okay. So he's ready to roll for the Belmont Stakes. And hopefully over the course of the next 8 days or so, everything stays on schedule.
Well, fingers crossed for sure for everybody. So
yeah.
Talk to us about the race and the contenders and what's going to happen from now on.
Well, you know, this has just been such a remarkable run for I'll Have Another to see him come from basically nowhere, really. And we actually started following him back with the Santa Anita Derby because we were out there to cover that race back in March, I guess it was early April. And he ended up beating a horse named Creative Cause, who was the leading West Coast contender for the Kentucky Derby at that time. We saw him come back and run third in the Preakness Stakes a couple of weeks ago. But he ended up beating that horse in the Santa Anita Derby, and it was so reminiscent of what we saw from I'll Have Another in the Kentucky Derby and in the Preakness, where he just refused to lose. He had this attitude about him in the stretch that he was going to gut it out, and he was not going to let this other horse beat him, and that's exactly what we saw in the Kentucky Derby. We've seen the same thing in the Preakness now. I mean, in the Preakness, he was a horse that looked hopelessly beaten at the top of the stretch. There was no chance for him to catch Bodie Meister, at least that's the way it looked. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of kicked it into another gear and kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And all of a sudden, he's the horse going for the Triple Crown now. So he's an amazing story. He was an inexpensive yearling purchase. And, you know, we're going to see if he can pull it off here on June 9th. But you mentioned the other contenders. He's going to face a couple of fresh contenders in here that didn't run in the Preakness, but he faced in the Kentucky Derby. Doolahan, or Dullahan, however you want to say that, I think there's a couple of ways to pronounce it, was actually third in the Kentucky Derby. He's coming back with fresh legs now in the Belmont Stakes, and he's bred to go long. A lot of people think that he might be a horse that has a good chance with his running style to pull off the upset. And Union Rags, who is considered to be one of the leaders in this three-year-old crop all season long going up to the Derby, he comes back as well, having skipped the Preakness. So he's a fresh horse. We know he likes Belmont Park, and he can handle that racetrack, so that makes him very dangerous as well. Those are probably the two main dangers to I'll Have Another and his bid at that Triple Crown.
Now, you've been through, Mike. Can you hear me this time? Or am I good now?
I can.
Okay, yeah. Good. You've been through a lot of, you know, contenders here to the Triple Crown. What makes it so difficult at Belmont? Is it the distance that makes it so difficult? Is it the fact that they've just been through a couple of races in a short period of time, or all of those things?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think the fact that he's running on his third different racetrack over the course of the last 5 weeks, and Glenn, in thoroughbred racing, we just don't see horses run all that often three times in a five-week time span, and let alone have to do it in three really difficult, grueling races. I mean, the Kentucky Derby, a mile and a quarter, the Preakness Stakes, a mile and 3/16, and then now this one is a mile and a half. And he had to run really hard in both of those, especially the Preakness Stakes. He was a tired horse after he crossed the finish line in the Preakness. It was a hot day. He looked like he had just been through a war, and he bounced out of it remarkably well. The very next day, Doug O'Neill, his trainer, had tweeted a picture that of his feed tub, and it was an empty feed tub. He had licked it clean the very next morning, and nobody really expected that, considering how he came out of that race and how he looked afterwards. But this is a remarkable horse. He's so resilient, and that's what really makes it difficult, having to race those three really difficult races over the course of a five-week time frame. And then, you know, the longest one, the mile and a half being the last one, certainly doesn't do them any favors.
Now, of course, he's been being ridden by a fairly young jockey, and he did a good job the last two races in his break time. And I imagine when you break at the Belmont is one of the most important things. So you just don't run out of, you don't want to break too early, you don't want to break too late. It's still that game, only the distance is longer.
Yeah, and Belmont Park is so unique because it is a mile and a half in circumference. We don't see any other racetrack like that in North America. And a lot of riders that go there for the very first time and start riding it and are not familiar have a tendency to move their horses a little bit too early, because even though the poles, you know, a quarter pole is still a quarter of a mile from the finish, and an eighth pole is still an eighth of a mile from the finish, even though the poles are still the same distances, it looks completely different on a mile and a half track. But we've had several riders tell us that ride Belmont Park regularly that you really need to have some starts over the racetrack before you come there to ride a race like the Belmont Stakes. And they're hoping that Mario Gutierrez, who is the young man who will be aboard I'll Have Another, will be there all week long. They're hoping to have at least 10 starts under his belt at Belmont throughout the week before he gets to the Belmont Stakes. So he'll be familiar with it. They did the same thing at Pimlico with the Preakness Stakes. He rode a couple of races on the Thursday before. He rode one or two, I believe, on the Friday before. And he was ready to go by the time he got to the actual Preakness Stakes. And he'll know that track. He's going to have some pretty good tutelage as well. Richard Migliori, who has ridden in New York for most of his career, he's now retired doing some things with television now. He's going to mentor him a little bit, along with Hall of Fame rider Jerry Bailey. They will walk him through that Belmont track. They'll go on horseback with Mario, and they'll walk him through the entire configuration so that he can get familiar with it, and they'll give him all of their advice that they can so that he can make the move at the right time.
So Mig is actually a regular guest here on the show, and what a great guy he is. He's a lot of fun, too.
Oh, he's outstanding. I can remember when the Breeders' Cup was first held in California there at Santa Anita, the first of a couple of years, I think it was maybe 4 years ago. And I was out one morning. We had just finished our morning show that we were doing, and Migliori was there. And we went out onto the downhill turf course at Santa Anita, and I walked the downhill turf course with Richard Migliori, and he was talking about riding it and where you need to be at this point and that point and why you have to be here, why you can't be in this spot. And it was just one of the best things I've ever had the opportunity to do, was to walk that course with him and have him walk through all the intricacies of it. And that's exactly what he's going to try and do with Mario up at Belmont Park.
Now, obviously racing kind of needs this. It's been a long time since we've had a Triple Crown winner. And you know, how cool would it be that we get a Triple Crown winner that came out of nowhere, you know, that wasn't a favorite, that wasn't even really looked at except by me, by the way. I'll have you know I picked him a couple of weeks ahead of time. I picked him a couple of weeks before the Kentucky Derby, and I admit the only reason I picked him is the name, because I didn't know it had to do with cookies, which I really like too. I really thought it had to do with alcohol, so that's why I picked him.
I have to say I did the same thing. I have to say I also said that's a great name.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, what's the difference? We haven't had a Triple Crown winner in so long. Is it the difference now that horses are rested? You know, not all the same horses do all the same race? Or what's your opinion on that, why we haven't had a Triple Crown winner in so long?
Yeah, well, you're right. The last one was affirmed in 1978, so it's been 34 years and the longest gap in the history of the Triple Crown. And I think there's a couple of factors that are really prominent in that. Number one is the way that horses are bred and prepared as young horses in thoroughbred racing now. So much of what we do as an industry is focusing on breeding to sell as opposed to breeding to race. There's so much money involved with having a good, precocious young horse that you can bring to the sales as a yearling, as a two-year-old in training, and have them look exceptionally well and have them breathe exceptionally well in the case of the two-year-old in training sales. And there's so much money involved with that that we've really gotten away from breeding more for the classic distances, because those type of horses that are, bred for the classic distances don't tend to be quite as precocious as the young, quick horses that we see going through the sales rings, especially the two-year-old in training sales, just because of the pedigree, because they have a distance pedigree and not necessarily a speed-oriented pedigree. So that's factor number one. And I think that the other thing is that now we're looking at these horses having to overcome much bigger fields than the Triple Crown races. I mean, I'll Have Another faced 20 in the Preakness. He faced, 20 in the Kentucky Derby, 13 or 14 in the Preakness Stakes. And now he's probably going to be looking at having to face, roughly 9 or 10 in the Belmont. So if you go back and you look at the past Triple Crown winners and some of the fields that they faced, they weren't nearly as big as what these horses have to overcome nowadays. So I think that that's the other factor that really plays into it.
I'm glad that, how do you change that? I'm glad to hear you say that about the breeding, because we've been saying that all along. How does that get changed? I mean, how does that mindset and, that financial, it all comes down to money, how does that change over time to go back the other way, or is it a cyclical thing? Is it going to change on its own at some point?
I don't know if it does change. I really don't. I think it's just, the times have changed and things are different now. I don't think that we're going to see people start all of a sudden saying, okay, we're going to now go ahead and breed to race and try to breed for the classic distances, because here in the United States, there just isn't really much of a market for that. I mean, this mile and a half race on June 9th, the Belmont Stakes, is more than likely the only time that the majority of these horses, if not all of these three-year-olds, are ever going to be asked to race at this mile and a half distance. Now, over in Europe, that's a little bit different. They run longer races routinely, so the breeding in Europe tends to be more distance-oriented and not speed-oriented like we have here. So I don't think that you are going to see that change. It's just the dynamics of the game now, the state that we're in, and the way that racing is here in the United States.
Well, let's talk a little bit about O'Neill. I'll Have Another's trainer, and of course, we've been covering that story here on the morning show as well, about his suspension and all of that. And then yesterday we had the story came out that they're going to be keeping a very close eye on the horses, drug-wise and otherwise. They're going to have them pretty sealed down and secure for the 3 days before the race. Is that normal there, or are they taking extra precautions this year?
No, they're definitely taking extra precautions, and that's definitely a policy change from what NYRA has done in the past. They're going to have all the horses be required, all the Belmont horses, require them to go to a set stakes barn on the backside. And you're right about the security. It will be very, very tight. They're going to have people, sign in every time that they need to go see the horse and talk about what their purpose is for going to see the horse. I don't have any problem with that. I think that that's fine if they want to take those precautions. I was a little bit surprised that they didn't make this decision earlier, maybe right after the Preakness Stakes. They just announced it, 2 days ago. And
yeah.
I know a lot of the trainers, especially a guy like Michael Matz, who is stabled at Farrah Hill down in Maryland, now has to make sure that he is there in the stakes barn on Wednesday. He wasn't planning on coming up with Union Rags until Thursday. So he had to alter his plans here at the last minute. And even he said, look, the procedures are fine if they want to do it like that, but we should have been notified at least a week and a half earlier so that people could have made their plans and not had to adjust.
And I think they're partly doing it too, because New York Racing Commission and all every problem they're having up there right now is coming to head, and they just do not want to be embarrassed again with this race. They just don't want anything to come out after.
No, and they should be taking that approach, but they should be taking that approach on a daily basis with all of their races, not just the one that's in the spotlight because there's a chance for a triple crown. And, you know, this is something that hopefully moving forward they'll be able to implement some of these changes on a more permanent basis. But, yeah, they don't want anything coming out that would be even remotely negative surrounding NYRA, surrounding the race, surrounding the Belmont Stakes.
Now, what do you do for coverage? You guys are heading up there?
Yeah, we're heading up there on Monday, and we'll be there all week long. We actually added some additional shows that we weren't originally planning on doing, but once I'll have another cross the finish line in the Preakness, I immediately made a couple of phone calls and scheduled a couple new shows. So we're going to host three Triple Crown countdown shows, which are morning shows that we do for Kentucky Derby and for Breeders' Cup. We're going to do them live from Belmont Park next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. And they're going to air from 8 to 10 Eastern time every morning. We host them right next to the racetrack, right where the trainers all watch their horses work out. Those shows are great. They have interviews with jockeys and trainers and owners and handicappers, and they're a great way for people to get ready for the big race. And then we come back on Saturday as well with 6 hours of coverage. We have our weekly equine forum show from 8 to 10 in the morning. We have a couple of hours of undercard coverage from 2 to 4 with all the stakes races leading up to the Belmont, and then we come back with the actual Belmont Stakes nationally from 5 to 7. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be there all week long to get people ready.
How can people listen? Where can they find you at HRRN? Well,
they can really listen just about anywhere right now because they can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and they can see a complete list of affiliates, SiriusXM channel information. All of our broadcasts will be carried on SiriusXM. The morning shows, the Triple Crown countdown shows, will be on tape delay on Sirius. They're going to actually play them back from noon to 2 Eastern time, so people will have plenty of chances to catch those. There'll be podcasts on our website, and all of our coverage is, of course, streamed online, as well as on more than 50 affiliates around the country and the SiriusXM. So lots of ways that people can do it. And, again, they can see that entire schedule on our site at horseracingradio.net.
And does this race start later in the day like the other two, or is this an earlier race? I don't remember.
No, the Belmont Stakes is set right now for right around 6:40 Eastern time.
Okay. All right, so it's about the same time. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Now
it's going to
be exciting.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Should be fun. We can't wait to get up there, and it should be a great event.
You have a cool job, by the way. We have a cool job, but you have a cool job, too.
I know. I know. This is really cool. I like listening to you guys. I'm like, this is something. I feel for the trainers, that their plan had to change. That's always tough. You know, I hope that doesn't throw them off their game.
Yeah, exactly. And I know even when they made those announcements, even Doug O'Neill said, okay, fine, well, then I want to go in there now. Let me move over there now so my horse can get acclimated and have as much time in his new surroundings. And they said, no, you have to wait until the Wednesday before the Belmont. So there's a lot of chaos from that perspective. But it'll all work out. It'll be fine. The race will go as planned, and we'll be ready to go for Belmont 144.
You know, humans care about that stuff. The horses really don't care. All they care about is they're fed, they get to do the daily thing, and it really isn't as important to them as it is to us.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I've had horses, though. You know, I don't know how so much with race horses, but competition horses, it can throw you off a little bit. And we're used to the secure stabling. That's a norm for us. And Michael Matz, you know, being an ex-show jumper, our horses, our international horses, do have to go into stabling like that. And they get used to it, but it's definitely hard on the grooms and the trainers when you have horses somewhere else and you have horses here. It adds a little stress, actually. So I hope that they all, you know, it's stress for everybody, though, so they have to all work out together. So.
Yeah, and that stress is only going to build as we get closer to the post time, so they better get used to it.
Because they got guys like Mike with a microphone in their face then. So then it's even more stressful because he's tough.
Exactly.
Mike, thank you so much. This is horseracingradio.net. It's the place to go for all the coverage of the Belmont next week. And we're looking forward to all of your shows coming up.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I just want to say before you let me go real quick, I crossed over into your world back in April. I attended the Rolex 3-day event, and I attended the Cross Country Day. And what a tremendous experience that was. It was my first time ever going. And I loved it. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, it's kind of like racing with big jumps in the way.
And to see what kind of athletes those horses are, it's just incredible to me. Some of those jumps, I said, there's no way this horse is going over this jump from this side. And the horse somehow would pull it off. And just between, you know, the horse and the rider and the chemistry and the focus, and I was just completely blown away by it. I loved it, and I'll definitely go back.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, pretty soon we're going to have you on here doing live reports about eventing.
I don't know. I asked an awful lot of questions out there in April, so I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you being on, and welcome to the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great. Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
All right. All right, thanks. HorseRacingRadio.net. That's Mike Tenna of HRRN. And, of course, as I said, we do get people still mixing us up a little bit, but we love those guys over there, and he does a great job with racing coverage for sure. Well, you know, one of the other companies that does a great job, Reese, is Equity Manufacturing. Equity makes some terrific products, and we had a recorded ad that I was going to put in here today, and I said, nope, I need to talk about it because I love their product. If you are looking to get a new manure fork anytime soon, you have to go to equitymfg.com. They have a couple of great forks. I would say if you clean one or two or three stalls a day, you have a couple backyard horses like we do, then take a look at the Flexen fork. It is the sturdiest, the best manure fork that you're going to find out there. You can go out and spend $20 on one at the Tractor Supply, and you're going to come home, and you're going to bend the tines, and you're going to step on it once, or your horse is going to step on it once, and it's going to break, and you're going to be out spending another $20. Or you can go for $40-some and get a Flexen fork. This thing, let me tell you, Reese, we've had the horses step on it. I have thrown it to the ground. I have caught it under cleaning the paddocks out here. I have caught it under roots. I have done everything I can to break tines off this thing, and it just doesn't happen. These are well-built, sturdy, and, you know, it's only on a show like ours could we talk about manure forks this way. But you get really attached to your manure fork when you're spending so much time with it that you're probably spending more than you are with your husband. So if you're going to be spending that much time with a manure fork, you need to look at the Equity Flexen fork. If you have 5, 6, 10 stalls or more, then I highly recommend you take a look at the Shaken fork. And the reason is, it's because it does all the work for you. Basically, it has a mechanism built in that it actually shakes the end of the fork for you. We've used it. It's fun. This is a guy's fork. I would tell you it's like a horse husband fork, but yeah. We've gotten more emails, Reese, from women who use this, who have to clean a lot of stalls every day, that it cuts half the time, and it saves half the bedding. So it pays for itself really quickly. It really does work. Yeah, you plug it in every night like you do your phone, and you come out the next day, and the batteries are all charged up, and have a little trigger at the end, and it actually shakes the fork, gets it all out for you, and what you're left with in the fork is just the poop. That's all you're left with. The bedding's down, the wet stuff's in the fork. It's really, really cool. And what they estimate is that you'll save $1 per stall per day in time, labor, and disposal fees because you're not wasting so much of your bedding either.
Are you kidding me? I'm on the red side now. I had no idea. See, this is why I love coming on because I had no idea that this
You should take a look at a Shaken fork. Now, they're really good for stalls that are bedded in pellets. They have a finer fork that has more tines. It's a narrower, you know, gap between them for stalls that are better than pellets. Then if you do shavings, that you would get the bigger of the two options. But, you know, if you have shaved now, if you do straw and things like that, they're not so much made for that. But for your shaving stalls and for your pelleted stalls, I tell you what, I know it's almost $200 for this fork, but you will save a ton of money, and your arms will love you. And if you have a husband that you're trying to get clean your stalls, you need a Shaken fork because it'll work.
Yeah, I know. It's
a gadget.
That's
a gadget.
Happening, no. Yeah. That's not happening. Yeah, it's not happening in our house. But That's a dollar a day. That's incredible because, you know, we have 16 horses here. That actually adds up quite quickly. So, really?
It does, and the nice thing about the Shake and Fork, too, is it has those same strong tines that the other one has. And as I said, we've used it. It works terrifically, and we've heard from so many people that are using it now. We had a lady in California that was one of our first guests on the Horse Radio Network, and she's the one that actually talked to us about this first, and she said her husband, she's legally blind, and she said her husband has cleaned the stalls a lot. And she said they bought theirs 3 years ago, and she said it finally got to the point 3 years later where it was starting to wear out a little bit. So she said they immediately bought another one. She said that he will not use anything else but a Shake and Fork. He just loves the Shake and Fork. So take a look at that. They're all at equitymsg.com. And, get one of each. Get a Flex and Fork, get a Shake and Fork, and your barn is going to be outfitted.
And they have one for dogs, too. They have one for dogs. I just checked.
They do, actually. Yeah. And they have a bunch of other products for fencing and things like that, too, that we'll talk about in weeks to come. But
cool.
That is good talk on a Friday morning. Talk about manure fork. Right, Jerry? Where else can you go to get that kind of talk?
You know,
hey, you're listening.
What we do.
That's right. Every day.
Every day.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Reese Koffler Stanfield, that's filling in for Jamie today. Jamie will be back in a little over a week. And, of course, Coach Jen is here as well. We're going to be wrapping this show up early today simply because Reese has to go out and actually do some real work. She has some lessons to teach and some horses to ride, so we don't want to hold you up from that. This show was brought to you also by Kentucky Performance Products. I know because I was also on that board, well, for a short period of time, but you're actually on a board with Karen, who owns and operates Kentucky Performance Products. She's a lovely lady.
I am, and she is lovely. We're on the Masterson Equestrian Trust Board together, and Masterson is a park here in Lexington. You can go and ride, and I had you recruited, Glenn, before you guys moved, and we miss you here in Kentucky, but it's a wonderful park. You can go ride, and Karen and I worked together on that board, and I've gotten to know her, and she is just, wow, she's a great lady, really quality person, and cares so much about your horses, so we've used her products before, and they're wonderful, and she's a great lady, so somebody to support for sure.
Terrific. Well, we're looking forward to having you on the Dressage Radio Show. If you want to hear Reese's first episode where we kind of introduce her, it's available now at dressageradio.com, and she'll be back every week with some more. Hopefully, we'll have a new co-host here to join you every week, and we'll be announcing that soon, we hope. And, of course, we had Samantha on yesterday, who's the new co-host of the Eventing Radio Show, which is now live as well. So check them all out. You can hear all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. They're all listed right on there. And we're going to be back again on Monday, 9 a.m., here at Horses in the Morning Live with somebody new co-hosting. I'm not even quite sure who. But I did want to tell you, though, Reese, I got Frankie Lovato. You know Frankie. He's coming on.
I love Frankie. He's the best.
I know. He's co-hosting next Friday before the Belmont. So he's going to be on. And
perfect.
I know. And I'm so excited to get him. He, of course, does his own radio show for young and up-and-coming jockeys, and he's going to join us, and we're going to be talking a lot of racing next Friday. So, and I'm hoping I can get him to do really bad ads. We'll have to see how great.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be great. Oh, he'll be perfect. Yeah, no, that'll be a lot of fun for you guys next week, and I can't wait to record my first show all by myself next week with a co-host, and it's going to be lots of fun. So thanks for having me, and I hope everybody has a great, safe weekend with their horses and enjoy. It's going to be a summer weekend. How much fun is that?
I know. Well, thank you, Reese. We appreciate it. And by the way, congratulations, Trial by Fire. My sound craps out just as we get on a guest. So you did great.
It's okay. This the training wheels are off. What can I say? Like, I can handle it now. I feel very confident now. I'm good to go.
All right, let's take the show out today with a little It's Time to Ride by Trish Lynn. Hey, stay nigger and geld, everybody. Where are your helmets?
No Broadway show. Hold on and don't let go. It's time to ride. This ain't no screw your game. Need courage to take the pain. Ace
seconds to make your name. It's time to ride. Show them what you're made of.